Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep. What's good, future surgeons? Today, we're kicking off a two-part series on a classic surgical emergency you must know for the shelf and the wards, acute appendicitis. It's one of the most common causes of acute abdominal pain in adults and kids. And don't forget, in pregnant patients, it's the most frequent non-obstetric surgical emergency. So buckle up.
That's right, Chris. Appendicitis happens when your appendix, that little worm-like structure off the cecum, gets blocked, infected, and inflamed. Its exact function has been debated forever, but recent studies suggest it might play a role in immunity.
So, Mars, what usually causes that blockage?
Great question. The most common culprit is a fecalith, which is basically a hardened piece of stool. But other causes include lymphoid hyperplasia and tumors. This blockage increases pressure, cuts off blood flow, and boom, bacterial overgrowth leads to inflammation.
Here's where students get tripped up. Remember, there's no single exam finding, symptom, or lab test that rules appendicitis in or out. You need a high index of suspicion. Mars, hit us with the classic presentation.
Oh, the OG case. Patients often start with vague periumbilical pain that later localizes to the right lower quadrant as the peritoneum gets irritated. Add anorexia, that's the hamburger sign for the old school crowd, nausea, vomiting, and maybe a low-grade fever.
And those physical exam signs?
Start with McBurney's point, tenderness. Two-thirds of the way from the umbilicus to the right anterior superior iliac spine. Then there's psoas sign, pain with hip extension indicating a retrocecal appendix. Obturator sign, pain with internal rotation of the flexed hip. Rousing sign, right lower quadrant pain with palpation of the left lower quadrant. And don't forget decreased bowel sounds, especially in kids, because they may form an ileus.
Solid. What about labs? Nothing diagnostic, but what's helpful?
Leukocytosis with a left shift, more immature neutrophils, is seen in about 90% of cases. Elevated CRP, C-reactive protein, is also common, and together with WBC elevation, may hint at perforation in kids. And the urinalysis? Classic shelf trap.
Totally. You can see sterile pyuria, white blood cells in the urine without bacteria, from ureter or bladder irritation. Don't confuse it with a urinary tract infection. And pro tip, always get a urine pregnancy test in females of childbearing age to rule out ectopic pregnancy.
Nice. Let's talk decision tools. What are the big ones?
We're looking at Alvarado score, pediatric appendicitis score, and the appendicitis inflammatory response score. They combine history, exam, and labs to stratify risk. Low risk, Alvarado less than 4 or PAS less than 4, no imaging needed. Intermediate risk, Alvarado 4 to 6 or PAS 4 to 7, imaging is helpful. High risk, Alvarado greater than 7 or PAS greater than 8, some patients go straight to surgery, but imaging is still often used.
Speaking of imaging, what's first line?
For kids and pregnant patients, ultrasound is first line because it avoids radiation. You're looking for a non-compressible tubular structure greater than 6 to 7 millimeters in diameter. Other findings, wall thickening, fecalith, and hyperemia on Doppler. Just remember, ultrasound is operator dependent.
What if the ultrasound is inconclusive?
If ultrasound is equivocal, move to MRI in pregnancy or CT in others. For adult males and non-pregnant females, CT with IV contrast is the gold standard. On CT, look for an enlarged appendix greater than 6 to 7 millimeters, wall thickening, surrounding fat stranding, and possibly a fecalith. CT also helps catch alternative diagnoses like small bowel obstruction or ovarian torsion and complications like perforation or abscess.
And MRI?
MRI is second line in pregnancy after a non-diagnostic US. It avoids radiation and has excellent sensitivity, but it's less available and slower. Also, avoid IV gadolinium in pregnancy due to teratogenicity.
Are plain x-rays still used?
Not really. They're almost never helpful for appendicitis. At best, you might catch a calcified fecalith in 15 to 20% of cases, but they're better for ruling out bowel obstruction.
Last question. Pain control before the diagnosis, yes or no?
Yes, the old myth that pain meds mess up the exam is outdated. Giving opioids, NSAIDs, or acetaminophen doesn't delay diagnosis or increase unnecessary surgeries. Relieve their pain.
Before we wrap, let's hit our top five high-yield facts from today. 1. No single finding rules in or out appendicitis. Maintain a high index of suspicion. 2. Classic presentation occurs in this order. Periumbilical pain migrating to right lower quadrant, then anorexia, nausea, and vomiting.
3. Leukocytosis with a left shift is seen in about 90% of cases.
4. Sterile pyuria on UA can mimic UTI. Don't get fooled.
And 5. Pain control doesn't delay diagnosis. Give analgesia early.
And here are 5 more. 6. Alvarado, PAS, and AIR scores help risk stratify and guide imaging. 7. Ultrasound is first line in kids in pregnancy. CT is preferred for adults. 8. MRI is second line in pregnancy if US is a non-diagnostic. 9. On imaging, an appendix greater than 6 to 7 millimeters, wall thickening, and fat stranding suggest appendicitis. 10. Always check a urine pregnancy test in females of childbearing age to rule out ectopic pregnancy.
All right, team, no bogus answers today. Keep studying. We'll see you on part 2 on appendicitis here on Surgery Shelf Prep.
Later.